course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. No killer robots on my end that I know of.
No. I don't have a Roomba or anything like that. Now, we have plenty of stuff here. Monica has a this machine that dispenses her medication. You know, automatically, like, well, not automatically, but like, it's all in there. And like, when it's time, she just hits a button and it dispenses what she needs. I got to admit, I looked at it a little sideways, kept an eye on it. But no, we're, I think, so far so good here. But this is all to say that today we are reviewing the movie Megan 2.0, which is now in theaters. But we got lots to talk about. We are, we're kind of on our, summer slim down episodes, I would guess you'd call them. I don't know, where we're cutting out lots of the segments, but that's only because there's just so much happening. There's so much news. There's so many birthdays and anniversaries. And it's like, you know, I don't want these things to run 2 hours. So, you know, it's like, instead of just throwing out this random, you know, cheesy slasher and whatever, we're just going to cut those out for a bit. And we'll have the occasional segment here and there. But as long as things are as hopping as they are, you know, we're just going to give you the news and the review and stick to the basics. What we you know, that's even less than what we started with. Sorry, we're taking shit back from you now. But no, there will be the occasional segment, right? We'll still do the Stump Your Co-host, which I guess technically we should be playing that this episode, shouldn't we?
I guess so. I guess technically this is the first episode of the month. But
It's a holiday. It's a holiday week. We'll play it next week.
There you go.
And but we'll still have the wives on occasionally, and we'll do all those things. But we're going to probably give it a bit of a break from the full all the segment episodes, just because it's just a lot happening. And because when you hit the summer, there's a lot of movie anniversaries and everything else. So and we don't want to short anything like that, because I find the news and stuff in the review, that's our meat and potatoes. So I feel like we don't want to cut from that. So, you know, people can live without us giving them a cheesy slasher. If you want a cheesy slasher, hit us up on social media. I'll give you a cheesy slasher. No problems. But before we get into all the other stuff, or like I just said, the quote unquote meat and potatoes, Ike, did you watch anything else besides Megan 2.0 this week?
Honestly, I didn't watch a whole lot. I've been rewatching My Hero Academia, which is an anime that is about to get another season here soon. So, nothing horror related, just that pretty much.
The only thing I watched horror related, I watched Maniac Cop. I was going to do a rewatch of all three, but I watched the first one, got sidetracked, and haven't gone back. I will hit the other two at some point. But I did watch the first one. God, such a fun movie. I cannot state enough how much I adore that movie. It's so good. I mean, Tom Atkins, Bruce Campbell. I don't recall the gentleman's name who plays Maniac Cop. I apologize for that. But it's just such a fun little movie. Nothing groundbreaking, nothing earth shattering, but it's a nice concept, a fun movie. The sequels aren't as strong, but I still enjoy them. But I did watch the first one and very much enjoyed that. So otherwise, I don't think I watched anything. I know Woman in the Yard's on streaming now. I intend to watch that. Just haven't got around to it yet. I don't even know what to expect from that movie. I don't remember a lot of hoopla. I don't remember us talking about it a whole lot. I know we did, you know, brought it up, mentioned it. I don't remember a lot. All I remember is the poster of the woman sitting in the yard with like the veil thing covered. I don't know. I don't even know what this is about.
That's pretty much all I remember too.
You know what? I'm good with it. I'm just going to go into it blind. Just see what happens. I don't care. It's on streaming, and I'm going to watch it, obviously. But we are at the beginning of the month, so lots of new entries into the Screambox Shudder world. Not a whole lot groundbreakingly new stuff. I know Shudder's got something called a Hell Motel, It's a series, a mini series. That's their big thing for July. Not a whole lot of original movies, but obviously there's always archive stuff that's going in. I know, is it Screambox? I think it's pushing big, speaking of Maniac Cop, because they got Maniac Cop 2 and 3, and
Yeah.
they're kind of promoting that a lot, which is pretty cool. So, but it is the beginning of the month, so it means there'll be new entries to watch on those two services. So, yeah, it's always fun to see what's out there. So everybody let us know what you'll be watching as we roll into July. So right now then, that's our opening. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll get right to it. We're going to go to the news, birthdays, and movie anniversaries. So everybody, stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, we're going to go ahead and jump right into Bring Her Back is now available to rent or purchase video on demand. Bring Her Back, man, that was a wild one. So we've talked about this because we originally didn't do any kind of review for this, but then I watched it and I was like, okay, yeah, Dave needs to watch this. So we both went and watched it, or in some way, shape, or form, and it's like, it was crazy. It was one of the easily the craziest movies of the year so far. So it's really great that they had a pretty quick turnaround on this. And, a lot of the A24 movies are on Paramount, I think. So I have a feeling that eventually this will get onto that streaming service. But at least for now, you can rent or buy it.
Yeah, it's worth it to me. This is a digital purchase to me, and I loved it. I think I don't again. I don't remember what episode it was. Not the primary. We didn't do a primary review of this, but we did talk about it on an episode, like in the opening. But it's funny because so far this year, it's like a lot of the quote unquote bigger releases that are getting a lot of publicity have overall kind of disappointed me a little bit. But then there's a
Right.
movie like this that slips in there, and it's like, oh, this is great. I don't know if what that is. I don't know if that's a reflection of horror in general or just my tastes for horror. I don't know. But this to me was more horror than damn near anything we've seen this year. More on that coming up, just by the way.
Fair enough. And then moving on from that, though, we also have the movie Drop coming to Peacock on July 11th. We never got around to reviewing this either. I think it was up against another movie that came out the same weekend, last couple months or whatever. But yeah, Drop was an interesting one. It seemed more thriller-esque, more than like horror. But I mean, it's still in the ballpark. So we'll probably catch this when it's on streaming later this month.
Yeah, I think Drop was the one, something about a woman being on a date with someone, and I don't know, getting some text message. I can't remember all the details, but that's the thing, though. It just seems like more than ever that the lines between horror and thriller are getting blurred to the studios and stuff. And I don't like it. I just don't. They're two different things. Come on. Yes, are there qualities that can be on both? Yes, but they're not the same. So, but yeah, I don't know much about Drop, but again, since it's hitting streaming, I'll watch it, see what I think. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Always watch it on streaming. But good news as well, coming in the public domain horror, as we all love, the first featuring Minnie Mouse. Minnie's Midnight Massacre is currently scheduled to be released digitally on October 1st. It is directed by Brett Bentman and is described as Minnie goes on a killing spree when seeking revenge against the bullies that tortured her. This is great. Love another addition to the public domain horror. Minnie Mouse is as good a choice as any, and I just hope that they do better with her than they have so far with Scream or Stream, Steamboat Willie. Sorry.
yeah, well, I mean, obviously, Minnie, right? Her first appearance was in Steamboat Willie as well. The others have just focused on Mickey, and but it still boggles my mind though that this is the first one that's done many. I don't know. It seems weird. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about first appearances. I don't know. I'm not that adept at it. I thought she was in Steamboat Willie, but yeah, I'm curious to see what this is. I don't, you know, that's a very vague description.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, it appears there's a kind of a poster, I think, out there, and by the description that, you know, they're not doing anything wacky. I believe it looks like Minnie is a person just wearing the mouse mask, a mouse mask. So I don't know. Maybe this won't be quite as cheesy. Maybe it'll be as some of the others. And I don't know. I'll give it a watch. You know, I'm down for all this public domain stuff, and of all the varying degrees. So.
No, absolutely. But we'll definitely check this out and see how it goes. I think that the mask option is definitely in the right move for some of these, but we'll see how they do. You know what I mean? Give them a shot, and yeah, we'll let you guys know after October 1st, hopefully. But moving on to production has wrapped on Lee Cronin's The Mummy, which is due out April 17th, 2026. April 17, 2026. It's weird. That's the date that I started working at the place that I work at now, actually, back in 2017. So it's a very odd day, but I guess that will be a Friday, I think, next year. So, but that's cool though. Yeah, I mean, April 17 next year we'll get a new Mummy movie. I'm assuming this is supposed to be sort of in that dark universe, like the Paramount type movies that they've been trying to do.
I assume they have the rights to all that, so I would think. Supposedly they're saying, or I believe Lee Cronin is saying, this is going to be a mummy, whatever presentation approach, something to that. I don't know what the exact wording that is very unique, something we've never seen, and terrifying. So, everybody says that stuff. Let's see what is, you know, happens. But I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. The mummy, that's a to me, that's a pretty simple topic to work with, and it's creepy. You know, I don't know. It's hard to go wrong unless you try to be too weird with it, but. I guess we'll see next spring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, we've seen a lot of mummy type movies, so we'll see what this one has to give to us next spring. Moving last to actor and stuntman Bob Elmore, who is the Leatherface stuntman in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, passed away on June 29th. So we pay homage to his work in the industry. Texas Chainsaw Part 2 is a very fun movie, and it was a little bit of a departure from the first, but nonetheless was a fantastic film. Deserves all of the acclaim that it has brought. So rest in peace to him.
I love the second. And there's so much in the Texas Chainsaw lore that is in the second, right, with the family and everything else. But he, I guess if I'm understanding right, someone else played Leatherface in a lot of the a lot of scenes, but then when it was, you know, an action type thing, him being primarily a stuntman, he took over. So obviously that's a lot of on-screen time. But he also did stuff. I mean, he did I remember from reading he did stuff in the Monster Squad. He did Dr. Giggles, but he also there was a lot of other stuff. But I know he was in did a stunt work in one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. I can't remember which one. Black Pearl, maybe? Is there one called Black Pearl or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he. I don't know if it was more than the one or just that one. But I mean, he's done stunt work and stuff for lots of things. Yeah, and I believe the date was June 29th of his passing. It's just the news has kind of been coming out over the last day or two, but the first reputable source did report it 2 days ago as of our recording, which would be the 29th. But based on his widow, you know, announcing that again, it could have been a day or two before the 29th. I don't know. I could not find that hard information. I tried to make a educated guess that it was on the 29th, but sometime in late June is when he passed for sure. So.
Absolutely. So we give him our we will immemorial him there. So in his memory, go check out Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2 if you've never watched it, and of course go binge all his works because that always is a fun time. So very awesome. So rest in peace, Bob Elmore, and we will now take it the other direction, and we're going to jump to upcoming birthdays. We have our first one, July 3rd, 1973. Patrick Wilson, known for his roles in Insidious and Conjuring, and a lot of their sequels and so forth. Patrick Wilson is obviously fantastic. Not only is he a fantastic actor who's done a lot of stuff outside of like Insidious and Conjuring, but he's also has the voice of an angel. If you've never heard it, he does the Stay With Me with, or it's, I think it's a Stay, but it's by Ghost, but he does like the melody. Oh, angelic.
Yeah, I think you said the same thing, his birthday last year.
Did
But
I?
I believe so. I
I'll
don't
say
know.
it next year too then.
Probably. But yeah, he's obviously done lots and lots of things, but within the horror realm, most known for the Insidious and Conjuring franchises. Yeah, just a talented dude. Now that some of that work's wrapping up on those franchises, I'll be curious to see, what he does after this. Will he, get the chance to, do some other horror stuff? It'll be interesting to see.
There you go. But all right, happy birthday to Mr. Wilson. And we're going to move on to July 4th, 1990. It's a great day to be born on July 4th. I'll say that's a Friday this week. Melissa Barrera, known for her roles in Abigail and Scream 5 and 6, of course. Melissa Barrera has done quite a bit, and Scream being probably what she's most known for. But she was great in Abigail too, and she's also great in some other stuff that I've seen her in. But obviously, you gotta have love for Scream. Happy birthday to one of the Carpenter girls.
That's right. Yeah, like I said, she's again done lots of stuff outside of horror, but most known for those. And yeah, very, very, very talented. And I hope she gets to continue to do to horror related stuff in the future, because she fits right in perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. But, unfortunately, she's no longer with them, but of course, still a happy birthday to Melissa Barrera. And moving last, not last, there's, oh wow, there's three more. Moving next to July 6th, 1927, Janet Leigh, who is, of course, perhaps most well known for her role in Psycho or the fact that she's Jamie Lee Curtis's mom. She's also in Halloween H2O, The Fog, and lots of other stuff. I mean, she's very, very prolific actress. And of course, she birthed another prolific actress with Jamie Lee Curtis, being the kind of follow-up final girl to, her role in Psycho. So, but Janet Leigh's fantastic. Her character in Psycho is one of, I think, the first death. It's the one in the shower.
But it's so cool that, another reason I love H2O is that scene with Curtis and Leigh, their interactions, and that scene they did together in H2O. It's so cool, knowing that it's a mother and daughter. But yeah, of course, Janet Leigh no longer with us, but she yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, most known for Psycho. I mean, that's you have that role. That's going to stick for his. We talked about the impact of that first movie, well, I guess a few times recently, actually, for whatever reason. But that's an iconic role to have.
Yes, it is. But very good. So happy birthday to Janet Leigh. And now moving to July 7th, 1949. Shelley Duvall. Hi, I'm Shelley Duvall. That's not from the horror movie that she's known from, of course. That's from something else that she did. But she's, of course, best known perhaps for The Shining or Popeye. She was olive oil in the Popeye movie with Robin Williams, I believe,
Yes, I love that
which is a
movie.
good one. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but it's very good.
I love it.
But obviously, we all love The Shining, one of Stephen King and Stanley Kubrick's masterpieces. And Shelley Duvall is just so great in that role. She just does such a great job of playing that character, and it's just very memorable.
Yeah, she does. And again, is someone who she's done lots and lots of other things, but keeping within the horror realm here, obviously most known for The Shining. Again, Shelley's no longer with us. She just passed away, what, a year or so ago, right? It hadn't been that long. I believe we were, I mean, it's, I believe we were doing the podcast when she passed away. So it's been within the past couple of years. So,
Yeah,
yeah, so.
she passed away on, looks like, July 11th, 2024. She just
Yeah.
turned 75.
Yeah. So it just, oh, yeah, not even a year ago.
Nope.
Yeah. Not quite. So, yeah, there you go.
Happy birthday. And of course, in memory to both Janet and Shelley, both of them have passed. It's actually weird. I remember I was literally just thinking that too. I was like, I swear, I was like, I'm pretty sure Shelley passed away shortly after her birthday last year, I thought it was. And but I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. But then you brought it up, and I'm like, okay, now I gotta look it up. But yeah, crazy synchronicity there. But moving on to July 8th, 1958, Kevin Bacon, who is the sort of inspiration of our seven screams of horror, if you will, but also known for his roles in Friday the 13th, Hollow Man, and They Them. Kevin Bacon does just lots of stuff. I mean, he's a very, very well accomplished actor who keeps making stuff. Even his family. Kevin Bacon has a daughter. I can't remember her name, but she's the main character in crap. What is it? It's oh my God, we just got a sequel to it not too long ago. Oh crap. My mind is oh Smile. She's
Oh,
the main actress in Smile, which Sozie Bacon is her name. It's a whole family affair. They all act and they all do great stuff. And again, we can thank Kevin Bacon for his introduction into that, I suppose.
yeah, it's such, I mean, such a fun guy, right? I mean, obviously, Kevin Bacon, most known for Footloose, right? And it just
Right.
it does so many cool things with that, right? Just pops up here and there, does the Footloose dance all the time. He's just such a fun guy. So, seems like such a good guy. But yeah. And probably most known within the horror world for wearing an incredibly revealing bathing suit in Friday the 13th.
Very true.
Does not leave much to imagine with the old twig and berry on Mr. Bacon.
The old chicharrones, if you will.
The old hog on Mr. Bacon.
But in any case, happy
Not that there's
birthday.
anything wrong with it.
That's right. That's right.
I
Happy
mean,
birthday to Kevin Bacon.
nothing to be ashamed of, Kevin. You're not the dude from 28 years later, but no, nothing to be ashamed
That's
of.
true. You're not the alpha from 28 years later,
But
but.
who is?
Oh man. But happy birthday, Kevin. Hope you're doing well. I don't think he's listening, but hope you're doing well. But moving now to our upcoming movie anniversaries, July 4th, 2018, The First Purge. A lot of Purge movies came out June, July time frame, so we'll probably see a couple more of these coming up. But yeah, absolutely, First Purge is great. I think it's one of the weaker of the series, but it's still fantastic. It provides a little bit of an insight into how everything kind of got rolling, if you will.
I mean, the Purge movies they're all fun to varying degrees, and obviously some better than the other, but yeah, they all, I think, circulate somewhat near that July 4th Independence Day date, within the vicinity of that. So yeah, we've had several of them, and I think we've probably got a couple more to go.
Absolutely. But very good, and be a good time to rewatch all those, I suppose. But moving now to July 5th of 2024, so last year, we have Maxine, the third in the Ty West series. Yeah, Ty West, followed up prior to the crap. What was it? It was
Pearl, ex Pearl and Maxine.
X and Pearl, Maxine. Yep. So I remember we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I think we both thought Maxine was good, but it wasn't as good as the other two movies. But there is also a whole episode that we did about this too.
That's right. Yeah, full review in the archive. I enjoyed Maxine, right? But again, there's part of it is that little bit of that. I have a nostalgia for things set in the 80s, so there's a little bit of that. But I mean, of the three, I don't think there's a bad one of the three necessarily. But again, no need to talk about too much because, like I said, full review in the archives.
That's true. And we'll now move on to July 7th, 1993, to 2 years of some change before I was even born. Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence. I've not seen this movie. It's on my list. I've seen the first Maniac Cop, obviously. It's great, but I need to watch the other ones as well. So, but hey, this one's got an anniversary, so that might prompt me to go and watch it.
Yeah, again, I like them all. Two and three, not nearly as good as the first, but they're still. I still enjoy them. But you gotta love those 80s, 90s names. Badge of Silence. I don't. I'm not even sure if that directly has anything to do with the movie. I mean, he is silent, but I don't know. Just like you couldn't just have Maniac Cop 3. You had to put some kind of weird tagline on there, but whatever.
That's true. The 90s, it's what they did. So
We're just lucky it wasn't all neon colors.
that's true. That's true. I mean, well, we're lucky some of these movies that they kind of grew out of that, right? You know, they grew out of the Badge of Silence stuff. Otherwise, we'd have like Insidious, The Red Death, or something like that.
Yeah, what in, well, we got that. Okay, go on to the next one real quick, though.
So, speaking of Insidious, this is where I got that from.
Yeah.
July 7th, 2023, Insidious, The Red Door. Obviously, we both love Insidious. We love this movie. We do have a full review in the archives, but Dave, were you going to say something
Well,
about
yeah,
that?
there was look this up really quick, but this wasn't the Red Door wasn't the original title, was it? Like the working
No.
it was what was it? It was something death. Like Insidious Creeping Death or Insidious I don't know what it was. It seemed like it had a different name prior to the Red Door.
Yeah, it did. It had a different name. I don't remember what it was. I'll have to look, see if I can find it on like IMDb or something. But yeah, it had a working name that was not what it ended up with.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but whatever. Yeah, I can't remember. I heard it with them, but whatever it was, it wasn't as good as the Red Door.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was. See, now you say that, now my brain's going to be just thinking about that.
I feel like there was even a graphic some or something. I don't oof. I don't know. I'm trying to see. Don't know. It seems like I saw it. Not too long ago, too, a reminder of it, and I thought, oh yeah. The Dark Realm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it did have sort of like a an edgy name.
Yeah, I don't know. Dark Realm's not too bad, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's not too bad. It could have been worse. It could have been like, you know, some bullshit.
I don't know why I thought, the first thing that popped in my mind was Creeping Death, but
That's
that's
a
weird.
that is a movie we watched, Creeping Death, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I think maybe. Yeah, I think
Yeah,
so.
that was the movie about the it's Halloween, right? And we talked to the director, and
Yeah.
yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, Matt Sampier, Sampier.
Yeah. That's right. What the hell? What do I know?
That's a whole other movie that we reviewed. So go check out the archives for that and our review with and our interview with Matt Sampier. There you go.
Yeah,
Well,
not related in any way to the Insidious movies.
just a weird connection that we made with our ADHD riddled brains.
That's right.
But very good. Moving now to July 8th, 1988, Phantasm Part Two, Electric Boogaloo. See, they don't make names like that anymore, right? Like this isn't called Electric Boogaloo, but I just love saying that. Phantasm Two, a decent film, not as good as the first, of course. You know, it's a lot of these movies from the 80s and 90s sort of have that derivative effect where it's like the first one's really good, and then everything derived from that one is just differing degrees of okay. So it's
Yeah.
kind of what Phantasm 2 was.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't have much to say about Phantasm 2. I don't. It's. After the first, it's just very peculiar and dicey beat. But it's weird. There are the some really diehard Phantasm fans out there, that I don't know, just love this franchise, and that's all right. No, more power to them.
No, absolutely. More power to him. Phantasm's not my favorite, but it's all right. But very good. Moving now to our last anniversary. We have July 9th, 2021, Fear Street Part Two. This time it's not Electric Boogaloo. It's 1978. They actually put something out for this. So Fear Street Part Two, 1978, of course, takes us back to the camp, you know, aspect, and a serial killer at a camp. So that's always a fun time. And this has Sadie Sink in it, known for her roles and Stranger Things, of course. But this was a good one. I liked Fear Street Part Two, perhaps just a little bit more than Part One.
Yeah, I definitely did. I think this is one of the best, if not my favorite, Fear Street they've done so far. So I really like this one.
Absolutely. But very good. We'll go ahead and just jump right now to the upcoming release that we have. And so we finally finished up all the other stuff. But Jurassic World Rebirth is in theaters now and is described as 5 years post-Jurassic World Dominion. An expedition braves isolated equatorial regions to extract DNA from three massive prehistoric creatures for a groundbreaking medical breakthrough. And we will be reviewing this next episode. Now, here's what I'm going to say. The original Jurassic Park, I would say, is definitely horror. I would say that subsequent Jurassic Parks strayed a little bit into more of like an action genre. And I think the Chris Pratt movies kind of even strayed further to an extent. But I feel kind of confident that this is sort of returning to some of those horror roots. And I think it'll be good. I think it'll be a positive experience and a good change back to what we were kind of used to with the first movie. But yeah, I'm excited for this movie.
I'm more than excited. I will forewarn everybody, this is going to be one that I don't know whether I could take the rose-colored glasses off. I love the Jurassic movie so much. And even the ones that are not as good, I still love them. They're still just fun to me. And the original, the first one, Jurassic Park, is on my short list of what I believe is one of the most, what is just essentially a perfect movie. I don't think there's anything wrong with that damn first movie. It is so good. And but I love them all. I think I enjoy them all. They're all fun. I have been looking forward to this so much. Another Jurassic movie, ScarJo in it. Come on, it's you know. I'll try not to be too biased, but it'll be hard. It'll be hard for me. We'll see. We'll see how much this fits into the horror realm, right? I mean, all the horror sites and everything are covering it because it, at the very base, it's at least it's a creature movie, right? It's like a creature feature because, it's got dinosaurs and which are not currently real or alive around. So
Right.
it's a creature feature. But I'm looking forward to it, and I do. I hope it's fucking scarier and shit and creepier than hell and everything else. That first one, when like the T-Rex is chasing, and it's like you're looking in that rearview mirror, and it said objects in mirror closer than appear, and it's like right there. That's beautiful. That's beautiful cinematography right there. It's so great. I'm looking forward to this. I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait to talk about it next episode.
Absolutely. Actually, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I've never read the book Jurassic Park, but I guess I talked about it a little bit. But there's a theory that like none of the dinosaurs that we see in Jurassic Park are like actual dinosaurs, that there's no actual dinosaur DNAs, that they're just like abominations of nature. So I like that theory because I think
Yeah. I don't
it
know.
makes it a little scarier.
Yeah. I did. I read the note that first novel long ago, like when the first movie came out. I was obsessed when the first movie came out. And I no shit. I bet I saw that movie 20 times at least in theater. No, that is no lie. But I worked at a place right next door to the theater that was showing it. So I would literally every day for whatever, probably a month, I would get off work and just walk next door and see the movie. Like every day. And that is not an exaggeration. I was obsessed with that first movie. So I did read that first novel then, but I don't remember a whole lot about it now. It's been so long. So,
Right.
but I do a big fan of the Jurassic movies. They're fun.
Very true. Me too. It's always a good time. Love dinosaurs. Sorry, this is another side tangent, but there's rumors that they're remaking. There's a dinosaur like horror game that's kind of like basically it's Jurassic Park, but like as a game. But it's not. They're not making
Yeah.
dinosaurs. They're like going back in time. It's called Dino Crisis. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
There's rumors that they're remaking the first one. I don't know if it's true or not. It could be complete speculation, internet bullshit, but supposedly they're remaking that. If they do, it's going to be super hype. I'll have to play it because I love the original Dino Crisis games.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. I remember the original Dino Crisis.
Good time.
Yeah.
Back in the PlayStation 1 days.
That's right.
But anywho, that's off topic. I mean, it's dinosaurs, so it's kind of on topic. But, in any case, I think that does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. We're going to take a quick break, guys. We're going to go hatch some dinosaur eggs. And when we come back, we'll have our official review of Megan 2, No Electric Boogaloo.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for, there's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
All right. Welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Megan 2.0. I'm confused because Megan's written with the three. How do you pronounce that? I'm confused. Anyway, now the movie is written by Keela Cooper and Gerard Johnstone, based on the creation of James Wan, directed by Gerard Johnstone, starring Allison Williams, Violet McGraw, Amy Donald, Jenna Davis, Jermaine Clement, Yvonne Sacno, may butcher that last name, and others. And the movie is now out in theaters, and the movie grossed $10,201,625 domestically on opening weekend. Good for number four. I have seen the articles. I have seen the reports. That is extraordinarily disappointing for them.
Yes.
That is way low. And well, let's just transition over. I'm not surprised. Here's the thing, man. This one, I ain't going to lie. I didn't care for this movie. Not even really much at all. Number one, they fed us a line of bullshit. This movie's not a horror movie. This is what we talked about earlier. This movie's a fucking action thriller. It is not a horror movie. It does not have any of those horror elements that the first one had. The creepiness, the hiding in the dark in the room, the whatever. Didn't have the kills. It was missing so much from the first one. And we talked about this, I think, last episode at length. They did what I feared, what I said I would not like if they did it. They did the babyface turn for Megan, and they tried to redeem her as a character. And I'm like, fuck that. I don't want that. I don't need that. Megan needs to be a fucking killer bitch. I can't remember the name. What was the bad one's name? Ugh, why can I not think of that?
Oh, it's Amelia.
Amelia. Yeah. And, she was the bad, whatever, robot AI at this version. She wasn't near as scary as Megan was in the first one. And she was a badass, but again, in a super, or an action hero badass kind of thing. It just wasn't the level of creepiness. The creepiest person in this was, I don't remember his name. Oh, Jermaine Clement, who played the Christian. How do you say it? Christian? Remember, he kept correcting people. It wasn't Christian. It was Christian or whatever.
Yeah.
He was the creepiest dude in it, but I don't know. It's just, there were some things that came up in this movie that you fucking saw a mile away. You knew they were coming. You knew where it was going. They tried to portray a thing or two, like it was some big twist. They weren't twists. You knew they were coming. You could see it was coming. It was just, and again, we say sometimes the obvious is okay, but not this way. I mean, it's just, I just did not care for this movie at all. The old adage that, of what sequels are so much worse than the original. This one's right up there in that conversation for me. I'm sorry. I love the first one. I thought the first one was scary. I thought it was creepy. I thought the fact that she pursued people, and just, there was that scene in the house in the dark and this and that, even the shit where she was dancing down the hallway fucking had a level of a little bit of creepiness to it. Like there's dancing in this one. It's not creepy in this one. It's goofy. I don't know. It's just not the same. It's just they made a sequel because the first one did so well. I don't think they went with the right story route. It was, again, like I talked about, I think it was last episode. It looked like, given the description, given everything, they were going to make Megan a good character. and this was just going to be a, oh, let's make the two robots battle. And I'm not going to say a whole lot of me because that's, yeah, there's directly not exactly, you know, I mean, but at its core, that's what happened, right? I mean, that's, and I guess we try to be spoiler free, but I guess I'm not really being real spoiler free here. We do have the warning at the top of the show no matter what, but.
True.
I just, all the mistakes I was afraid they were going to make for me, they made. Now, I don't know. I've not even noticed or seen the online perception of this movie and the reaction. I don't know. It was just weird. I typically, you can't help but see some of it. I don't know. I've just not really seen any of it. But those numbers, that's not a positive thing. Especially when you just had 28 years later on opening weekend grossing $30 million. And, and it's still really doing well and just became like the third highest grossing horror movie of 2025. And while we talked about last episode, I had issues with parts of 28 years later. They weren't the issues like this has, right? 28 years later, at least tried to stay at the core essence of what the franchise is about. And they took some swings. There's no harm in that. The swings just didn't necessarily work for me, all of them. That's okay. That's cool. No problem. I don't even feel like this one took swings. It's like, I don't even feel like they stepped up and took the right bat. this felt so phoned into me. It really, really did. It just felt, I mean, it's this felt like if you had Megan, which had this big hit, and then you were going to make a sequel, but say you couldn't get anybody to return, but you still went ahead and made a sequel anyway. And it just comes off really weak and cheap. That's what this felt like to me. But yet it's got the cast in it. And, you know, they're all fine. They're all talented. They're all great. They did. The girl was great. Violet McGraw, who was the girl from the first one and this one, she was great. I mean, she really was. She was the most compelling character in this. And I can't really just say that either because Allison Williams as Emma, it was a compelling character. I will say that I like that human approach of it. There was, I don't think this is, you know, spoiler. The internal conflicts and trauma that would have arose from the first movie, I liked, you know, that the way they portrayed that was fine, right? That's definitely should have been in this movie. I don't know. I just felt like, though, it was weirdly, I don't know. I'm not going to say more because that'll give away a little bit. I just felt like this movie felt so weak to me. I want to say I was disappointed, but it's what I feared, given reading the descriptions and everything else. I don't know. It just did not click for me. A little pitchy, dog. So what say you, Ike, about Megan 2.0?
So I will start with what I enjoyed, which is I think that everybody that they cast this movie did good with the roles that they were given. I don't think that there was any particularly weak actors or performances. I think that the movie itself is actually not that bad. It's just that when you're following the trail or the curtails, if you will, of Megan the First, you have a very strong performance to follow. And I think there's always like an expected, a little bit of a decline in quality from sequels, right? And while you don't see that decline per se with like the acting, the story itself to me and sort of the method at which they did this, right, is where you see the major decline. Other than that, I think the big thing here is that Megan was pitched and it was clocked as a horror movie, right? Killer robot, off its rails, a few quirky moments. But even though those quirky moments were kind of funny, it was still a little scary, right? Like the dancing. It was a little like, it makes you chuckle, but you're like, okay, it's a little unnerving in the first movie.
Yeah.
Same thing with like all the things that she would say. During like the final fight in Megan, you know, she's saying some pretty off the wall shit like, oh, I'm just going to paralyze you with a pencil. Like, okay, that's kind of spooky. But like, it also takes you off guard. I feel like this one was really just trying to like, be funny, but like also have like the Megan character be there. Like, it almost felt as if they were trying to make like an action comedy, but like with Megan. And they were trying to push it towards the thriller category as much as possible with some of the, you know, I won't spoil it, but there were a few scenes where you could kind of see where they were trying to go with it. But it to me, it just didn't land properly. And it really, to me, just felt like they were just milking Megan for something here.
Yes.
And I think that's the big issue, is that when you're just milking a character to milk a character and not trying to put them into a film that actually is good, you kind of get this weird disconnect. And I think phoning it in sort of is kind of what it was. You know what I mean? They were just like, we want to get some more money out of this character. Let's write a script and throw Megan in there, see what we can do. And I really feel like they could have done more. You know, at the end of the first movie, it shows Megan like being uploaded to the cloud or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like they didn't do hardly enough with that for to begin with. That was kind of a wasted opportunity. And I think that they really easily could have made an even scarier movie. Because to me, if they would have made a proper sequel, they would have done the whole upload of the cloud thing. She gets back into the house somehow and she kills Gemma, right? That would have been like the perfect like opening to the second movie. Not to say that I want them to kill Allison Williams' character, because I think that she's a fantastic actress, but that would make the stakes of the movie a little higher, right? And then you could then kind of pull something like a la Chucky 2 or 3 and send the girl, which is, what's her name? Katie. You send Katie off somewhere, right? Whether that be to like the other relatives, right? Because they talked about relatives in the
mm-hmm,
first movie.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Or send her to like, not, maybe not military camp like they do in Chucky, but you know, like foster care or something. And then Megan pursues her. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much more you could have done here to actually make it a horror movie. But it really felt like you just wanted to use Megan as like a weird, like, it's almost like they wanted to bring Megan back in the exact same way that she was in the first film. And the only way they could think to do that was what they did in this movie. Like, rather than have Megan be like a disembodied voice or like acting in other ways, they specifically wanted her to be a robot again, exactly as she was in the first movie. And it just did not make sense to do that, but they did it anyway. So I'm rambling at this point, but that's my big thing, is that, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's, again, like what you said, right? The first movie had kills. This movie had fight scenes. Those are different. Those are two different things. I don't know if you'll spoil. To my recollection, were there any kills in this movie?
I mean, there were kills, but they weren't.
I'm not talking about bland red shirt guys. I mean, it's what's wild, but
there was no kills with stakes in this movie.
And
to me,
there is, again, you could have done the same, even similar story to what they did. I don't feel that we needed the second robot character. Because if you wanted a militarized version, just make it Megan. Just make that be Megan. They had the technology. They somehow tapped in, found her out, you know, somehow. And they utilized her. And then make where Emma and whatever the girl's name you said, I can't remember what you said her name was. They have to, and that whole team, they're the ones that fight her and have to work to take her down, right? It didn't. I get there was. They tried to explore a morality of AI and that development, what's it called? Where the technology, the AI surpasses the maker.
There's a phrase for it.
Whatever it is, I don't recall off the top of my head. I can't remember. And they want to explore, when we get to that point and we pass that point, what will happen, right? Will it be a good thing? Will it be a bad thing? Will these creations have the ability at that point? Will they develop enough to make a choice? And will they have developed enough to make a correct choice, possibly? So I understand what they tried to explore. I think that's this is not the right movie for that. To me, that's too much. You can explore some of that morality without having two characters and going, I don't know. It's just this movie just didn't work for me. I'm not a big fan of the story in general, but I'm even not more of a fan with having this second creation and, you know, in a quote unquote evil version of the Megan. I just didn't. I felt like that was unnecessary, not needed. I thought everything was just too transparent. You knew what was happening. You knew where it was going. Yada yada yada. I don't know. Anything that started to have a little meat to it, it just seemed like it was so quickly just shoved aside, right? They would mention it, but it was not for, you know, could have been developed further, could have been carried further into the movie. This just didn't work for me. This movie was severely impacted by the subtraction of James Wan. That's what I believe in my heart. That's what hurt this movie so bad. James Wan created that first one, was the guy in the first one. When you take him away from that hands-on and that writing and that involvement, I think that's what happened here. I don't think James Wan, this would have been the movie James Wan would have made if he had made this the second one. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't know, but I don't know. I didn't like it. Again, we are, like you said, we're rambling, we're talking, we're repeating ourselves a bit. I'm not a fan, not even at all. I would love to hear some feedback from people online. Again, I haven't seen a lot. Of course, I haven't really seeked any out of what people thought of this. This movie just really felt so, I don't know, it felt so distant from the first one. It didn't have the same vibe or feel, or, you know, you can't just have a robot and have a dance scene and think you're going to have the same success. It's not how it works. I was not a fan. And again, the numbers, that's wild, because if you can't come out of the gate any hotter than that, just on pure follow-up curiosity, I mean, that to me says that there's quite a few people who thought this movie did not sound interesting enough to even go try. I mean, you know, typically you have a big opening weekend, and if it's not a very good movie, it really drops. But if you don't have that big an opening weekend and it's not that good a movie, what happens? I mean, it's going to drop, but you can't drop a whole lot more. So that's not good, right? I mean, even a bad horror movie in this day and age has a big opening weekend and performs. And, you know, the number four, you know, I'm not for the weekend, that, you know, it's a rough market right now. Right, with the How to Train a Dragon and that new, I don't even know what it is, the new Disney movie or whatever it is. I don't know if it's Disney, Pixar. There's some new, whatever it is. The Formula One movie with Brad Pitt. Those are the three that are ahead of it. Those are big movies, right? That I'm not saying that this would have had enough to knock any of those three down. And that's not even a shameful thing to say, right? Being number four after those three, there's not an issue. I don't know, but none of those three are still in a way horror dollars. So I don't know. That 10 million is, that's a scary thing for me for this movie. I got a feeling, I don't think we're going to see a Megan 3, which also makes me wonder, there is this, that spinoff movie coming. Can't remember what it's called now. The one that sounds like it's more related to sex dolls or something.
I'm gonna look. Also, the term you were thinking of earlier was the AI singularity.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
and the Megan universe expands with erotic thriller Soulmate.
Yeah, Soulmate.
Maybe for 2026.
Yeah, which I believe James Wan is back more involved with that one. I don't know. I wonder what will happen. Will we still get that movie? I don't know where it's at in the process. It's got to be filming or close to being done. But what happens after this one? You know, does it make them skeptical of what that, if that third movie will perform? I don't know. I feel like this, the release of this movie has raised more questions than it can answer. And that's the way the film market is nowadays. So, all right, then we've, like I said, we've rambled enough about a, dancing weird ass robotic doll thing. So let's rate this. I'm telling you, I did not like this movie. No thoughts of me. Best I can do, I'm going to be, I feel like I'm being generous in my heart. I'm giving it a 1.5. I do not even feel like this movie warranted a 2 for me. Did not like it. I'm sorry. Especially when I always keep it in context that I'm rating this and I'm judging this within the world of horror, because that's what we're reviewing. This was pitched and portrayed to be a horror movie, a follow-up to what, to me, was definitively a horror movie. And this was not horror. And I'm not even saying as an action thriller it would have been great, but it might have been a little higher than a 1.5 rating within that realm. But yeah, I didn't like it. So I'm giving it a 1.5 out of 5 screams. Like, what are you rating Megan 2.0?
Oh, man. The issue is that I didn't hate the movie. It was fun enough. Like, I would potentially rewatch it if I were like rewatching like the other Megan movie. But in terms of, cause it's hard, because in terms of enjoyment, I like every movie to some degree, unless it's Cannibal Cabin. And like, I still like this movie. You know what I mean? Like, I still enjoyed this movie to some degree. It's just, I don't know where it falls in terms of like how it was portrayed and presented to me and everything else. So just as a safe bet, I'm going to give it just a flat 2. Like, there's a possibility that I would rewatch this, but this did not hold up to what I wanted it to be. So even though I still didn't like hate it, it didn't live up to what I wanted it to be. It didn't fulfill its potential. So a 2 out of 5 is the best I can do.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been the absolute highest that I would have gone as a 2. I float there in that 1.5 to 2, you know, I mean, but I didn't find a whole lot redeeming, but I'm sorry. I cannot look at this movie and think where something jumps out at me of like, well, that was okay. Or, you know, the acting was fine, but damn, they didn't have the material to work with in my eyes. And, you know, I'm sorry. You know, the best acting can't save poor material. It might make it a little more palatable, but it's not enough. And I don't know. It was it's not my thing for sure. So next episode, like we said earlier, we're reviewing Jurassic World Rebirth, a movie that already in my mind is a 5-star movie, but obviously it won't be that. I'm not that naive. But you know, the one that I'm going to have to try to make sure I calm myself. I quench that fanboy in me and try to give an honest review, an honest rating. It may not directly reflect my enjoyment of this movie, but, well, you know, I have journalistic integrity, so
yeah.
I couldn't even say that without laughing.
Yeah, like something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, no, I'm very much looking forward to seeing this movie. Hopefully, everybody's out there. You know, this is these kind of movies. These are the summer blockbuster movies, man. These are the movies that make you think summer movie. Right, these big, fun, actiony movies like this, right? And so hopefully people are out there and seeing it and enjoying it and, you know, whatever. So we'll see, though, what we think of it next episode, and we'll also see what we think of it as it relates to being kind of a horror creature movie, whether it works in that vein for us. So,
right, creature.
That's right. So those are two separate things, like I said earlier, right? I can love the movie, but does it, you know, does it? I mean, it's definitely a creature movie, but does it? I mean, I don't know. If you have big-ass dinosaurs, how does it not work as a creature movie? I don't know. Whatever. I think I'm just rambling. Anyway, thank you to the wives and all of you listeners and followers for all your support and your love and everything else. Again, give us some feedback. What did you think of Megan 2.0? I'm very curious to see. I cannot thank the internet horror community and some of the hate that some of these movies get that really enjoyed this one. I mean, yeah. Some of the movies that I thought were really, really good they hate on. I can't imagine, but I don't know. Who knows? But if you have seen it, let us know what you think. If you haven't seen it, go give it a shot and tell us what you think. So maybe you're a big enough Megan fan that it'll work for you. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to the Screams or Listen to Screams, and there is where you can give us the feedback and reach out to us. Any questions, concerns, anything else that you have, we do respond. We do interact. So let us know what's on your minds. Ike, before we close, anything you want to add?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it. I hope that they do still make the Soulmate movie, and I hope that it is scarier and more in line with the first movie.
Me too.
Other than that, I'm excited for Jurassic. You know, this Jurassic World Dominion, right? Is what they're calling it. World, not park.
It's World. Rebirth, not Dominion.
Yeah, Rebirth Dominion
was the last
you
one.
You know. I get so lost with all these movies that they're making.
That's right.
I need to go rewatch them, actually. So that'll probably be what I do today.
Yeah. But I just recently did a rewatch. I'm actually watching the animated stuff now. The Cretaceous, however you say it, which fucking is surprisingly fucking incredible. It is really, really good, and it ties into the universe. So good. I advise anybody who likes the Jurassic movies to give it a watch. I didn't know what to expect. I thought maybe it was. I don't know. I didn't know what to expect, but I give it. It's really, really, really good. So, and it takes place at the time period of the Jurassic World movie. So,
interesting.
But, it is good. So,
I'll check it out.
It's very good. I advise it. So, all right. And as we're recording this today is July 1st. So, happy birthday, Canada! Today is Canada Day.
Hey.
We love you, Canada. We're not all crazy fucks down here, so don't hold it against all of us. And this episode will be released on July 3rd, one day prior to the Independence Day. So happy birthday, America, as well. And for those of you out there, let's prove to the world that we're not all crazy fucks. And let's be cool, man. Love, soul, and peace, as they used to say on Soul Train. Let's all be chill out, man, and be good. And just you know what? If you feel yourself getting all in a tizzy, just fucking go watch a movie. And that's very therapeutic. And horror movies are, and by the way, here, before we get off this, a side note discussion. this may be rambling, but I love this. Have you heard of the wrestler Rhea Ripley?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. First of all, fucking smoking hot. I'm sorry. Anyway, she's a very big horror fan, right? Even more than that, a huge fan of the Terrifier movies. Right. She has stated several times she would love nothing more than to be in Terrifier 4. She wears Terrifier shirts all the time. Right. She's worn them to the ring, everything else. We did put a post out about a week or so ago that if Rhea Ripley's not in Terrifier 4, the world's just done something wrong. It's failed. I did see that Damien Leone responded to an interview clip of hers about wanting to be in Terrifier 4 and how big a fan she is. I can't remember what he said, but it's a very positive thing. I think there's a very, very good chance that Rhea Ripley will be in Terrifier 4.
That's crazy.
And what's even better is Rhea Ripley's like, she wants to be killed, right? But what horror fan, if they were in a horror movie, wouldn't want a good kill scene, right? I mean, come on.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be my thought process too.
Yeah. So, again, very excited. Everybody knows, anybody that knows me knows I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a Rhea Ripley fan. I love her. I think she's great. Love it even more that she's a Terrifier fan as well. So super excited. Will be super cool. We've already gotten Chris Jericho, pop up with two of them. It'll be super cool to see her pop up. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of red tape to involve because she is, obviously under contract to WWE. You got to, there's some hoops you'd have to jump through, but hopefully it can happen. Because that would be pretty cool. So,
absolutely.
That's my side discussion. That's what I wanted to discuss before we close. So, there you go. Anyway, we have rambled. See, we cut shit out, and we still went because you know what? We could talk about this shit. There's lots to talk about. So, all right then. Until next episode, when we will be reviewing Jurassic World Rebirth. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.